From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Monday, July 8th. Coming up, nearly two decades ago, a civilian review board was formed to provide oversight to Urbana Police. Today, the founder of that group says she's disappointed at what it has become. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Peaches in deep southern Illinois will have a bounce-back year this summer. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports, the big Metro East orchard may have another down season.
Last year, local peaches dropped to a record low thanks to a cold spell. Just about 10% of the crop at Flame Orchards near the small town of Cobden made it to shelves. But this year, the weather cooperated, and Flame's production will be at a full 100%. But for Eckerd's and Belleville, production will be about 50%. The same as last year. That's according to company president Chris Eckerd.
It's not frequently that we have 2 years in a row with this kind of outcome. One, that's hard to endure financially. And two, how much of this is a trend versus circumstance?
This year's culprit was sub-zero temperature in January and frost in March. There is some good news, though. Eckerd says peach season arrived a little early and the fruit still tastes great. I'm Will Bauer.
There is an abundance of invasive fish in Illinois waters, including a species of carp. The Federal Great Lakes Restoration Initiative has invested more than $500,000 rebranding Asian carp as Kopi so that it appeals to more Americans as a food to eat. Aaron Chwandi Wong writes for the Chicago Eater. He told the 21st Show that restaurants are struggling to get people to order Kopi.
The chefs or the restaurant workers just tend to need a little bit more of efforts to tell people that this fish is nutritious and it's mild and actually tastes not bad.
Wong says that kopi are very common in many Asian countries, and he believes that the fish's popularity could grow in the U.S. The Chicago Coalition for Family Building is working to make costly infertility treatments more affordable. Mawa Iqbal reports.
Dr. E. Feinberg says it can cost upwards of $25,000 to cover one cycle of in vitro fertilization, where an egg cell is fertilized outside of the uterus before it's placed back in the body. And Feinberg, who heads the coalition, says some patients need several cycles to conceive successfully. She says they'll continue fundraising, but
I would love for people who have infertility to know that they have all of the coverage that's needed to treat their disease, similar to any other field of medicine.
Last month, the coalition partnered with a North Suburban jewelry shop and raised almost $13,000 in aid. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
The Midwest and Great Plains have already seen some extreme weather events this summer. Harvest Public Media's Kate Grumke reports climate scientists say extreme weather is happening more frequently.
Heavy rainfall led to flooding in Iowa, South Dakota, Nebraska, and Minnesota at the end of June. At the same time, St. Louis broke a heat record. It's difficult to tie specific events to climate change, says Dennis Toddy, director of the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Midwest Climate Hub. But he says the Midwest is seeing heavier rain events.
You can't just automatically go, this was climate change. But because of the overall changes in our climate, there are fingerprints of climate that show up, you know, in most everything that we do.
Scientists say warmer air holds more water, which can lead to more extreme rainfall and flooding like what we saw last month. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Kate Grumke.
Still to come, nearly two decades ago, a civilian review board was formed to provide oversight to Urbana Police. Today, the founder of that group says she's disappointed at what it has become. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
Next time on the 21st Show, the late film critics Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert created a television show that made them household names and made their two thumbs up a coveted endorsement. We'll talk with author and film critic Matt Singer about the Illinois duo's unique role in Hollywood history. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. The Civilian Police Review Board was founded nearly two decades ago to provide more oversight for Urbana Police. But now, both the board's founders and current members say it's failing to uphold the mission and affect any change to policing in Urbana. Farah Anderson reports for IPM News and the Invisible Institute. A note to listeners, this story mentions sexual assault and an incident involving an Urbana police officer who resigned from the department in 2005.
Urbana resident Danielle Shenowith has known for years that the Urbana police needed more oversight. It's why she helped found the board, known as the CPRB, in the first place. It was initially touted as a way to restore faith in Urbana cops after an officer allegedly looked up a woman's address in the database and raped her in her home while on duty in 2005. She says she never could have imagined that the strong board she envisioned would now be deemed by some experts in police accountability as the weakest form of civilian oversight. Shenowith's concerns over the board went public in 2020 after outcry from local activists who felt the board lacked organization and that the barriers to filing complaints were too high.
I was ashamed that I had ever tried to put together a civilian review board.
CPRB operates on an uncommon model. Instead of reviewing all complaints about the police department, the board only reviews appeals to complaints. Here's how it all works. Complaints about Urbana police and staff are first investigated by the department itself. Once the investigation is complete, the chief of police decides on next steps, including whether to order additional training or discipline. If the complainant decides to appeal that decision, only then does CPRB start a review. This is not the board Shenowith had in mind. She says calling the CPRB an oversight board isn't really accurate. It operates more like an appeals board. On top of that,
it had not met regularly. It had failed to provide quarterly and annual reports. It did not have a central registry of complaints. They were not reviewing taser usages. There was no community outreach. It was a placeholder so that we said we had something, which sometimes can be more dangerous than having nothing at all.
The way boards like CPRB are set up goes against best practices, says Cameron McElhenney, the executive director of the National Association for Civilian Oversight of Law Enforcement. She says outdated ordinances prevent these review boards from making any meaningful change. It's then no surprise that people don't trust the system and don't bother filing appeals.
You know, I served on a review board for 6 years and never once had a hearing. There were people who expressed their anger at the outcome, but no one ever took the step of filing the appeal. And I think part of that is because if you don't have faith in the system to begin with, why would you go and continue the process?
In the over 15 years before 2020, the review board in Urbana only had three appeals, and no appeals have been filed in the past few years, according to police data. In 2020, Urbana resident Jane McClintock filed a complaint about the forceful arrest of Aaliyah Lewis by Urbana police. A video of the arrest had gone viral, and the review board said they couldn't review the incident until a complaint was filed. That's when she learned the complaint process is arduous. There's a 45-day window to file. And her complaint was ultimately rejected because she wasn't a firsthand witness, something McClintock says is another limitation of this process.
You know, having come into this whole process with a kind of naive assumption that the board was there to both help our police department and our citizens be safer, that, you know, it would be like a great civic offering to bring my insight forward so that the board could collaborate with police to like improve. The amount of roadblocks was really honestly a surprise to me.
These roadblocks led her to file a petition on change.org calling for major reforms to the setup of the board. Ricardo Diaz supports many of these reforms. He has led the board since 2020 and says he decided to step down because systemic changes were taking too long. At his last meeting on May 29th, he said Urbana residents want the CPRB to be able to do more actual oversight of police.
One of our limitations as a board has been that we're basically an appeals board. People see us and ask us questions as if we were actually an oversight board to the police. And sometimes people act as if we're not doing our duty. but the ordinance has been very clear as to the many limitations that we have.
In a statement, Urbana City Administrator Carol Mitten said a new CPRB chair has yet to be appointed. She said the board has taken steps to make it easier for people to file appeals, and that city officials are currently discussing additional reforms. I'm Farrah Anderson, reporting for IPM News and the Invisible Institute.
This story was produced in partnership with the Champaign-Urbana Civic Police Data Project of the nonprofit newsroom Invisible Institute and co-reported by Sam Stecklow. And finally, a look at your forecast for today. A chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon and evening. Otherwise, partly sunny with a high near 86 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Will Bauer, Reginald Hardwick, Mawa Iqbal, Kate Grumke, Farrah Anderson, and Sam Stecklow. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.